me today. 1 Corinthians 15, along about verse 34. Now let's see. See how sharp you are. Everybody answer out loud, what is the subject I'm teaching on? Righteousness. That's it. You got it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, says to them, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." Now, we have discussed, what is righteousness? Righteousness is a standing with God. Righteousness is the ability to stand before God without inferiority, guilt, fear of God, fear of man, fear of circumstances, fear of the devil. It is the ability to stand in the presence of the enemy and fear no evil. It is the ability to overcome all guilt, all condemnation. That's what righteousness does for you. It gives you standing with God. And we've discussed the righteousness of God, that God didn't just make you righteous. He sent Jesus, and Jesus is declared in 1 Corinthians 1:30 to be your righteousness. He is made unto you. But of God is Christ made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus is your standing with God. And we've seen that you are as close to God as Jesus is, because He's your righteousness. We found that He sits on the throne beside the Father as your righteousness and as your advocate with the Father, to stand there as the word advocate, attorney, to stand there and to plead your cause when you are accused. And who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan, the devil. When you are accused, and that blood is not just for the accuser in heaven before the throne, though that's where a lot of the accusations go. It is to be applied to your conscience, and it is to remove the consciousness of sins, or sin consciousness. One of the biggest problems in the church around the world is that the church is so sin conscious. If you tell them, if you start talking about being unworthy and so, you know, messed up and so short of the glory of God, everybody goes, "Yeah, that's me." Everybody knows what they were before Jesus came and died on Calvary. Everybody knows what they were, but, you know, I like it what it says over in Hebrews. I was reading the other day. No, it was in 1 Peter. And he says, if you have these things, if you understand these things, then you are free. But if you don't understand these things, you are as those who have forgotten that their sins were washed away, that you've been made a new creation. Old things are gone. Your sins are gone. And Jesus is your righteousness. But most Christians still relate themselves to what they were before Jesus ever did anything for them. Why? Because most Christians go by their feelings. I mean, you know, if I get up one morning and I'm feeling a little bit sinful, and the devil comes over and says, "There ain't no need in you getting down and starting the day in prayer. I mean, after all, you know, you had that bad dream that I gave you. You know, and you know where that dream came from. That is the secret thoughts of your heart." Well, my Bible says, "A new heart will I give them." That's part of the new covenant that He didn't make that's going to be in heaven someday. He made that covenant with you when He went. He made the covenant upstairs in the upper room when he broke the bread and said, a new covenant I make with you. This do in remembrance of me. Do it. Remember, my body was broken so that yours wouldn't. My body was suffered and died and bore sin and bore sickness and bore all your diseases so that you could live in my victory. I took your failures, and the word expiate, which means to take them from the person here and put them over here, a substitute. He took your sins. See, we read those things and we go, Jesus expiated my sins, right? Jesus, well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know, but man, it sure sounds spiritual. Well, it means that He took that which was of you and put it on your substitute, Jesus. And if you claim Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as your substitute, then He took your failures, your problems, your sicknesses, your sins, and if He carried your sins, He carried your sicknesses. We've gotten into all this. I'm just recovering everything. He said that the righteousness which was of the law was manifested before, that by the works of the law, by doing good deeds, you could have favor with God. But then it says, but nobody could do it all good. Therefore, everybody failed. Everybody came short. But now, the righteousness of God is given unto those that believe, apart from works, apart from good thinking, apart from good, you know, acting. It is totally by F-A-I-T-H, faith. Your faith is accounted unto you for righteousness. Isn't that what the Bible says? How many of you have never heard that your faith is supposed to be counted to you for righteousness? Good. You've all heard that. What does that mean? It means that your righteousness is not a work, is not something that you do, that if I get up and I have a bad dream and I snarl at my wife and I do something, that I doesn't change my standing with God one bit. We shouldn't do those things, but that doesn't change it because my righteousness is not based on how I feel or what I do. My righteousness is based on my Lord, my Savior, Jesus. Jesus died. He shed His blood. I don't make void the grace of God. I claim it. I live it. They will reign in life, it says. They that will receive it, not want because they want to work for it, but they that will receive abundance of grace and a free gift of standing with God will reign in this life through Jesus Christ. That's the Word of God, the living Word of God. You like this, don't you, Ron? That's this. This is just Bible. Your faith is put onto your account. Now, just to cover again. There are books in heaven and the books will be open. Amen? The books are going to be open and you're going to be judged by what's written in those books. And what's written in those books is either your works, your sins, and your problems, or they have been blotted out by the blood of Jesus. The word justified, you have been justified, just as if I'd never sinned. It is just if I'd never sinned. That's the way Jesus sees you. That's the way God sees you. Just like you never, ever sinned. The blood of Jesus washed it all away. He checks your account. Your faith is accounted to you for righteousness. He flips to your page. The blood has blotted out your sins. He looks there on your page and He sees righteousness written in there, accounted on their account because of their faith in the finished work and the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Him not by their good deeds and actions and righteous thinking and thoughts and feelings, because all their feelings were in perfect order, but they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Believe in that, because they loved not their life to the death, but they loved Him. And they said, He is my righteousness. He doesn't make me righteous. He is my righteousness. He is my standing before God. And God says, that kind of faith gets that. That's a good accounting faith. I'm going to reckon that onto your account for righteousness. He flips to your page and He sees righteousness written over there. And you may never have done anything good. Now, we've already discussed all the ins and outs of that. This is no license for sin. But I'm telling you that the Bible starts off, and the Apostle Paul writes right here, and he says, "Awake to righteousness." Wake up to righteousness and sin not. Now, notice, the Bible's very, very accurate in the way that it puts things. It puts first things first. It did not say, sin not, so that you can become righteous. Did it? I'm going to get over here and get you guys. I never hardly ever come down this aisle. Y'all are in trouble now. Somebody over here has been in condemnation. A bunch of you. Praise God. He said, if you'd quit sinning, you'd be righteous. If you'd quit being an old reprobate, God would accept you. That's not what he said. He said, wake up to righteousness. Let me tell you, righteousness is a biggie. This is an important subject. It's part of the armor of God. You'll never be in spiritual warfare and win without understanding righteousness, because it is your breastplate. It guards your heart. And out of your heart comes the issues of life. And if your heart is your self-image, and if your image is an old, beat-down, unworthy, yucky, well, I'm not worth anything kind of thing, then the enemy can fire those fiery darts in there and say, what are you doing praying? Give you some feelings where you don't feel good and say, well, I guess I just, God's not hearing me. The Bible plainly says He hears your prayer. He hears you because of Jesus. The mediator between God and man is up there seeing to it that your prayers are getting through. Well, I prayed, but I don't feel like God got through. You know, isn't that funny? I mean, you jump up and boy, you feel good, you know, in the morning. Man, I feel good. Lord, I'm asking you to go before me and da 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 da. And boy, you say, man, I know God heard me today. Woo! Man, I just feel spiritual. Get up the next day and go, oh, man, I didn't get much sleep or nothing. Man, I just feel bad. Oh, God, help me. You go out to your car and there's a flat and you go, I knew He didn't hear me. I knew it was going to be a rough day, man. Well, He heard you. That flat has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. You know, that didn't knock Jesus off the throne. You know what I mean? I mean, He's going to be there, and He's going to be there. And so, all you got to do is say, well, I'll tell you what, I don't go by my feelings, and I don't go by my flat tire, and I tell you what, Lord, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And that's just because that's Bible, not because I feel it. But I have awakened to righteousness. I'm a believer and I'm not a doubter. And my faith is counted unto me for righteousness. So I'm going to go over here and fix this thing. And I tell you what, if this is the enemy coming in, if this is junk that's trying to stop me and tear down my joy and break down my faith, I'm just going to fight the good fight of faith. Well, why does the Bible call it the good fight of faith? The only good fights I've ever been in is the ones that I won. Man, it's a good fight. Huh? I've been in a few that I lost. And folks, those weren't good fights. Those were bad fights. Yeah. You've seen a few that I won, though, too. But the ones that you win is a good fight. Well, the good fight of faith, the fight of faith is good because you win. You win. You win. But if you don't have faith, you have unbelief, and you start losing. Not because God's not there, it's because you started going by your feelings. He said, wake up to righteousness and sin not. Now, and then he says, for some have not the knowledge of God. He says, he didn't say, quit sinning, for some don't know that they're supposed to be holy and perfect and good. That's not what he said. He said, because some hadn't realized that when you wake up to righteousness, it starts doing something. Let me give you an example. And I realized this on my study this past week. Some 16 years ago, when I first came to the Lord, I wasn't born in the church. I wasn't born with a three-piece suit on. I was a naughty boy. I got into a lot of stuff. I was smoking when I finally found, or Jesus found me. And I was smoking, and I got born again, and I'd come in, and I'd lay there, and I'd read my Bible, and I'd be smoking my cigarette. You know, just, man, this Bible's good stuff. Woo, glory, you know? And it never occurred to me that I wasn't supposed to, it wasn't a legalistic kind of thing. But then one day I said, man, it's not that I don't think I'm going to go to hell. See, I got saved. I mean, I really got born again. I knew I was on my way to heaven. And I thought, well, you know, it's not that I think I'm going to go to hell from smoking, but I know this isn't bringing glory to God. So I want to get free. So I said, Lord, I'm asking you to take the desire away. Now, I have shared this many times before, and it's always been like God heard my prayer to take that desire away. And then a few weeks later, I was smoking, and all of a sudden, it tasted terrible. And I threw that one away and got out another one. It tasted terrible. I threw that pack away, got out another carton, and took out a pack of that, lit it up, and it tasted terrible. And then I realized I've been delivered. Well, I thought God just heard my prayer and took the desire away. But I realized on my study what happened. The Bible doesn't, and I'll tell you in a minute, build up to it now. The Bible doesn't say, come in, fight the darkness, beat it up, kick it out, and then you can start living for God. Does it? In other words, it doesn't say, sin not, and then you'll become righteous. Come on. It doesn't say, it's just like if this room was full of darkness, and I've told this before, I wouldn't walk in this room and say, there's darkness. Start fighting. Get off in the name of Jesus. I'll drive you out. I'd go over and flip the light on, wouldn't I? And the darkness goes, you know? But that's not what Christians do. We don't awake to righteousness and sin not. We determine in our little fuzzy brain that I am going to lick this thing because I want to live for God. You know? This sin has got the best of me, and I tell you what, I'm going to fight it. And then when I've fought it, then God will be able to use me. Once I've licked all my sins, my major sins like this, then God can use me. I can become a leader in the church, or God can give me some gifts of the Spirit, or He'll use me in witnessing, or all these things. But I'll never God until I get these things out first. Wrong, wrong, and double dog wrong. That is not the way it works. That is not, N-O, spells not the way it works. That's not it. No. And half the church world, if not more, is sitting around waiting to get the victory over their sins so that they can be available to God. But they're not even open to God using them hardly because God wouldn't use me, puff, puff. You know, God wouldn't use me with all my sins or problems, whatever it is. I mean, I'll just use that as an example because I came to the realization of how I got free. Oh, God, you know, God couldn't use me. And so that's our confession. So we undercome by the word of our mouth and the lack of the application of the blood of the Lamb, huh? You ever think of that? Yeah. We didn't overcome. We undercame by the word of our testimony because we hated our old filthy life to the death. I hate you, flesh. I hate this flesh. Oh, the old man. Oh, the devil. And we're fighting all the time. We get up in the morning, wrestling around, with the guy that Jesus crucified 2,000 years ago. Get up, and we ask the devil to move over so we can get out of bed. Could you get up? I mean, you know, I'm running late for work. No, let's lay here for a little while more. Oh man, the devil's got me again. You know, sin consciousness, devil consciousness, controlled by the... He says, awake to righteousness and sin not. That's the order. That's the order. Now let me give it. Let me give you the punchline over in Galatians. He says, it's in Galatians the 5th chapter. Maybe I ought to just read that. In Galatians 5. Verse 16. Now notice very carefully what this says. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This plainly tells you how to get free. It does not say, don't walk in the flesh, and then your spiritual life will develop. This says, walk in the Spirit, and you will be delivered. You will not, no longer. The more you walk into the Spirit, the less you walk in the flesh. Now, the story of the cigarette smoking, I saw what happened. I wasn't beating myself about smoking them cigarettes. I didn't have a pastor at that time. I was raised in the Methodist church, and you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, they didn't condemn you for smoking or drinking or cussing or hardly anything. So I didn't have somebody standing over me going, "Don't smoke, you old filthy thing." You know, I didn't have that. So I didn't know. So I just smoking along. But I was getting in the Word all that time. I prayed that prayer, Lord, take the desire away. But that alone wasn't it. I kept on getting in the Word, and I was going forward in the Lord. You know what I mean? I didn't know. You know, I had my cigarettes were here, and I was going forward in the Lord. And I took a step after that, after I prayed, and I took another step, and I took another step. And all of a sudden, I reached back there, and I couldn't reach them. They were just out of my... I was walking in the Spirit and realized that I was no longer fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Now, if my concepts are wrong, I am bound for failure. If I'm sitting here holding on to this going, oh God, take it, you know, and I'm holding them cigarettes up like that, take it out of my hand or whatever. You know, I'm using cigarettes. We got a billion problems here. You know what I mean? Anything that's holding you back, take it. And we're waiting for Him to just reach right down and pull that right out of our hand, aren't we? And, you know, and yet we hear, man, I need to walk in the Spirit. Well, I can't get off into that, man. I mean, God will strike me dead, you know? I mean, if I go off and try to do some of that stuff for God, I mean, you know, first of all, I look silly. I lay hands on the sick and they won't recover because I smoke. Let me tell you something. If your smoking can stop the power of the cross, then smoking or drinking or cussing or whatever, any of that junk or even lighter things, is the most powerful force in the universe. You know? I mean, it's more powerful than Calvary. It's more powerful than the blood. But if instead of going, you know, I'd throw this thing if I could, you know, like, you know, I'd throw it up and come back down and catch it and say, oh, you know, Lord, take it. You know, I'm giving it up. Come on, grab it, you know. Take it, Lord. It keeps coming back. You know? And all of a sudden we take one little step out of here and we get out of the range a little bit, you know. And we say, and then the devil comes on and says, "Who do you think you are praying for that person? You old sinful thing, you. Get back over there where you belong. Until you get rid of that, you ain't got no right doing nothing for God. Who? You can't do that." "Well, Lord, I can't do nothing for you. Why won't you get me free?" Well, you know what? You're listening more to the devil than you are God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're not reading the Word, because He says, "Awake to righteousness." I mean, we do things that a righteous person would do, because He is our righteousness. You see that? If Jesus... Okay, Jesus is righteous. He's righteous with God. He's holy. He's righteous. But He has standing before God, right? Would anybody dispute that Jesus is right up there with God? Okay, He's got standing with God. So when Jesus comes over and said, "Heal," God said, and He's healed. Right? I mean, that's, you know. And if He comes over and says, "Lord, make food," you know, bread multiply, He did that. Well, by the way, if you had anything wrong with you, brother, you are healed. Jesus is your righteousness. Not how you feel and act. You have Jesus as your standing with God. But you listen and you say, "Well, you know, I will get into righteousness. I'll begin to walk in the Spirit once I've won this battle over the flesh." Wrong. Wrong. Man, you take a step out there. The devil comes to condemn you, and you've got your breastplate of righteousness guarding your heart. He says, he picks on most people who've got a poor self-image. Do you know that? That's right. And he tells you all kind of junk, and because you've lived with the devil all these years before you came to him, you're still in the habit of listening to him. Let me give you a hint. Don't listen to the devil. Okay? Pretty profound, huh? Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to your old carnal mind. Listen to the Word. And the Word says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The Word says, who is he that would condemn you? Not God, who justified you, who declares you righteous. And so, if Jesus would walk and heal because he's a righteous man, we do what a righteous man would do because God declares us righteous. You see that? We do what a righteous man would do. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus went and did that. We go and do that. And that's why Jesus came back and had a legal right to say it when he rose from the dead. He came back and he said, "Okay, guys, I'm your righteousness and everything, and all authority has been given unto me." And now, that was, folks, he'd always been righteous. He'd always had the ability to heal and to cast out devils. He always had all authority in that sense. I mean, he's the Son of God. You know, so what's the big news about coming back and declaring all authority? The big news is, "And I give it unto you, and now you go in my name." See, that's the big news. Go do what a righteous man did. And since I'm the only one that was righteous, go do what I did. Is this getting home to anybody? Man, this is what they call the gospel. You know, call the gospel. We preach funny things around here. We preach the gospel. The good news, you know. That other stuff ain't good news. You old sorry things, don't ever try to do anything for God. Oh, that's passed away. Oh, don't try, you know, no way. There ain't no way that you can do that stuff. Just wait someday when heaven, man, you'll be able to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Boy, up in heaven, man, you're going to be a powerhouse and you'll be able to cast them demons out. Ain't no demons in heaven. Ain't no sick people. What do you And I, you know, tells me contrary things to the devil. So I'm learning Jesus. I'm learning of Him. I'm learning what did a righteous man do? What does a righteous man say? And I'm learning that this Jesus dwells in me and that I act like Him. You can sit down. Thank you, brother. I now respond with Christ. But that's a renewing of your mind process. So what's going on between now? See, when you get born again, your spirit is changed. When you die physically, your body is changed. But in between you being born again and your body being glorified is the time called now, our sojourn in the earth. What's it all about? Getting in the Word and learning this Jesus, this right standing with God. Learning, awaking. See, that's what it said, didn't it? It didn't say quit sinning so you can be righteous, because you're never going to be righteous. You must awake to your righteousness, Jesus Christ. You understand? Awake to righteousness and then you won't sin. And He says, man, some are continuing in sin and I speak this to your shame. They don't have the knowledge of God. Isn't that what it said? It didn't say the knowledge of how to quit. It didn't say the sermon that says 7 steps on how to get free from sin. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the 7 steps of the knowledge of how to get free from sin. And I speak this to your shame. That's not what it said. It said, awake to Jesus my righteousness, and therefore you won't sin. For some have not the knowledge of God. Your righteousness. See? So the Christian life is becoming in the image of Christ. Romans 8 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. And then it goes on to say what that purpose is, that we might be conformed to the image. Well, He's already in us. He's already your life. He's already your peace. He's already made unto you all these things. But the mind must be renewed to it, and that's the plan of God. The renewing of the mind to the reality of what this book says is true. It's a legal document. It is a contract that God has with man signed in the blood of Jesus. And folks, if you don't know a contract, you go into a contract with somebody. I'll give you an example. Our machine back here that makes copies, paper copies of things, broke down. And so for days I ran copies. Some of you who are in the new members class notice all that dark stuff on the bottom of the copies, you know? The funky looking things. You know, it looks trashy. I didn't like that. But I said, well, these guys are in Dallas and, you know, it's going to cost a fortune to get them to come all the way out here and everything. Well, we called them up and we decided it was the best thing. And the people that were keeping care of the copy are no longer in the church. So this is a new game for me. And he comes in, he's talking. And he says, while he's working and he's fixing it all up, he says, oh, this is no big deal. Let's do this and this and that and that. Then he says, by the way, you know that you've got a contract with us, don't you? I say, what? He said, yeah, you've got a contract with us, a maintenance contract. I mean, you guys have already paid and everything. I mean, if you ever have any problem, we're supposed to come out and fix this. I said, no kidding. How about that? You mean anytime anything goes wrong, I just call you, you'll come all the way? Yeah, I mean, that's what you're paying us for. I mean, that's what's in the contract. It's settled. I mean, if I need you every day, you'll come. Well, that's what it says. I mean, if the thing explodes, you'll come. That's it. I mean, light bulb comes unloose, you'll come? Yeah. It's in the contract. Didn't you know that you had... No, I didn't know I had a contract. Well, you need to read the contract. Yes, I sure do. I sure do. Yep, yep, yep. That's what I felt like saying. I felt like an idiot. Are you getting this, folks? You got a contract with God. God has made a contract with you. And if you don't know what's in the contract, If you don't know what's written there, then you're going to be walking around in your Christian life and somebody's going to say, there goes another Christian. And they're going to say, how do you know? And you're going to say, because he's the one going, yep, 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 yep. You know? But wouldn't it be better if they said, there goes a Christian. How do you know? Because he is enforcing the benefits of his will, his contract. He's taking that contract seriously. He knows everything that's his and he's putting it to work. He's living it and it's coming alive. See? But if you don't know the contract, if you don't read this book, if you don't find it out, if you don't awake to righteousness, then you will be bound in sin continually because you're never going to get any better. Because righteousness is not a process of you getting better, but Jesus being formed in you more. This good stuff. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then what's it say right after that? For if the Son shall make you free. Do you see that? Now wait a minute. You see? You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then, as if the word Son and truth are interchangeable, he says, for if the Son shall make you're free indeed. So that means, what is the truth that we're to know? Facts. We're to know all the theology of the Christian life. We're supposed to know expiation, propitiation, and remission. It's okay. But let me tell you, you're only trying to... What you need to know is Jesus. So we preach Jesus. We preach not ourselves. Because you preach yourself, you're going to fail. You come in your name, you get nothing. You stand on your ground, zero. You come in His name, you stand on the ground of Calvary, you win. How many of you want to be a winner? How many of you want to be a big-time loser? Okay? You can't win in yourself. You win through Jesus. You win. Oh, glory. You win against the enemy by putting on the armor of God. You know, when you put on your righteousness, that's half the battle. I mean, that's a bunch of it right there. Just putting on that breastplate is a bunch of it. I mean, he didn't say, pull your breastplate off and just whack the devil upside the head. It didn't say that. That's what we're trying to do. Pulling off the shoes of peace, gospel of peace, and throwing them at him. See? But they just work. He says that we are wrestling with flesh and blood and there is a battle going on. But it's not talking about hacking and whacking and wrestling in that sense and fight. It's saying the battle is getting our armor on. I mean, that's what it talks about. Put on the armor. It didn't say, beat up the devil. Put on the armor and the devil can't get to you. You see, you got your breastplate of righteousness. He can't come and say, you thought a bad thought, you're in trouble. God saw that. You know? You let that word slip out. Oh, condemnation. 2 weeks. Back. 2 weeks. You're going to slide back for 2 weeks now. You know? I mean, he does that to me. I say, lying devil! You're sliding back for 2 weeks. I don't put up with this stuff. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. And go on. Go on about the kingdom of God. Get involved with what God's doing instead of involved with me. Me. See? That's not it.